This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Madeline and I are going to have a little chin wag in a minute, but I wanted to share with you what's coming up in the next hour. Bit of a different change of pace. Gabrielle Devitre, the Greens Equality Spokesman, is going to join us and talk about a whole lot of stuff. But I'm actually interested. Gabrielle and I have often, won't say locked horns, had a disagreement about housing policy. So I'm interested, okay, Gabrielle is a state member of parliament, but the federal Greens have taken their bat and gone home on housing policy. They don't agree with the government's policy, and I think it could be improved. But basically, you know, they're saying, no, we're not going to do that. You know, shades of some climate change policy from a couple of decades ago, perhaps.
Michael, hi. Excuse me. It's Paul here for a second. Maybe Gabriella could do with looking into Matt Taylor's information on how multi-generational mobility to inform housing discussion.
Oh, you mean some research?
Yeah, so there's some evidence-based research that Matt's done. So
that's a good concept.
That might help that debate.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you suggest it to her? Richard Keane, CEO of Living Positive, is going to join us to talk about what's going on in the sector, but he's actually going to talk a little bit about support for trans folk as well. Harriet Shing, the Equality Minister, is going to talk to us about what's happening in State Parliament and some other things. I'm interested, Madeline, you know, you shared some of your story about your family. Mm-hmm. And when you look now, so your eldest is?
22.
Mm-hmm. So 22 years ago when you did this, and you said there was a couple of years before that where you got to know.
Well, we were co-presenters on Bent TV.
Yes.
Blair and I. So yes, we
I
knew
remember
each
that.
Other.
Yeah.
But we didn't know, and we were friends, but we didn't know each other well.
Mm.
Put it that way, really well.
So I know. Let's go 25 years.
Yeah.
How's the environment changed now from your perspective in terms of if someone wants to do this now, do you see, you know, in terms of how people now respond to this? You know, do you see a lot of difference?
Well, it's hard because the thing that happens, and anybody will tell you this once you have children, you kind of disappear into the world of the children. So you lose touch with the community, you lose touch with everything that everybody else is doing to a degree. So you know when Shadi was talking about the
planting the seed.
Planting the seed, stop it. When Shadi was talking about the growth of rainbow families, I mean, I went to the rainbow families playgroup when Sebastian was a baby, and I know that it's grown exponentially, but it's sort of done it over there while I've been busy changing nappies, and I'm not changing nappies anymore. They don't wear them now.
No.
But but the one thing that I mean, we live in sort of inner suburban Melbourne. So we live in a very rarefied atmosphere, and my children went to St. Michael's school. So,
in Marlton Crescent.
Yes, is that right? Just off, and so, you know, for our family, it was we were the subject of envy.
Yeah.
Not just
not derision.
Derision, envy. People, the children came home one day and said they'd been talking to their friends who were really envious because they never had to hear their parents fighting or kissing. And what they meant was they never had to think about their parents having sex. And I said, this is my gift to you. This was our gift to you. You will never, however old you get, you'll never have to think that your parents had sex to get you. But
they'll never have that vision.
They'll never have to have that vision. Never. Which once that seed is planted, is very hard to remove. But so And we are, as I said before, we're a very harmonious household. Things, you know, we discuss things. We don't always agree on everything, but there are never any fights or people storming out. And you never have to walk in the house on eggshells. Everybody's, you know, respectful and looking after each other. But a lot of their friends were, their parents were splitting up and divorcing all over the place, as people do. So, but that's our experience, and I understand that we've been incredibly lucky, and also that I don't take any of it for granted. It could all go horribly wrong tomorrow.
Yeah, it's,
I hope it doesn't.
You know, I think about, you know, how this has, you know, IVF and, you know, rainbow families and the battles that were fought, the legal battles that were fought, you know, and some elements of the community, you know, of the world we live in opposed it. You know, it's you know, that it wasn't that, you know, that they thought, well, this is wrong. But, you know, this is often said by men wearing dresses, masquerading as oracles.
Exactly. I mean, the only obstacles we had were practical ones, that when I tried to get pregnant, I had to get in my little MG and drive to Albury.
Oh, your MG?
I had an MG in those days. And, of course, it broke down on the way back, and I didn't know whether it worked.
An original MG, not a new MG, which stands for Mao's Garage.
Yeah, no, 1968. Well, it was in the garage a lot, but, you know, it was a 1968 little red MG, and I loved it to bits, but I had to drive to Albury Wodonga to try and get inseminated, to have the seed planted. And I've got to stop that. I'll stop it now. I'm stopping it now. But everything else was made incredibly, was quite straightforward. And we've never, I don't know, in primary school, the teachers there were incredibly welcoming of us. And I don't know if anybody ever talked about us behind our backs, but we've had a very smooth journey, again, touch wood, so far, and didn't face the derision that you might expect.
Yeah. And look, there was a lot of people that felt very strongly about this, just as, you know, a lot of people felt very strongly about marriage equality. I'm talking about those who opposed. And I would have thought that wanting to raise children within the constraints that existed then in terms of creating those children, and the same as getting married, I always thought people that opposed this, what, you've got something against love, have you?
Of course.
And, of course, everyone else in the world does such a fantastic job of married and procreating and creating families. Well, you know, I'm not sure that's the best, you know, that's what we should be looking at as the model, I think.
Well, I mean, obviously I do have to say that in our particular situation, to people that don't know, we present as an incredibly nuclear family. They see a man and a woman and two children going to the Bendigo Art Gallery or wherever we are, or Ballarat gold digging, and they have no idea who we are. But without love to start with.
You're a disruptor.
We are a disruptor. So we'll fly a little rainbow. We've got a rainbow doormat when you come in, so that people know, you know, that. But we found that in hard rubbish. It was a great find. but where there isn't love, I think the big word is respect.
Yes.
So if your relationship doesn't come together through love in the first place, if you really respect each other, and that can happen in all relationships, so that you don't undermine each other in front of the children. This is incredibly, when we're talking about parenting.
Yeah.
That to me, I think, is the key.
Now, what about you, Paul? Would you like to have children?
So before we just go on to that question, I just want to say what a brilliant piece of life advice for anyone.
Yes.
Madeline, just like, you know, because not everyone can get on with everyone, and the world is a very complicated place. But if everyone showed people respect, then the world would be a better place. So, you know, I think wise words, wise words.
Thank you.
I think I may be getting a little bit beyond the age of it being sensible.
Your seed's still good.
We're going to stop the plant the seed jokes, okay? It's caused much amusement this morning.
It has.
But yeah, I would love to have children. We've thought about surrogacy.
Yep.
I think one of the thought processes my partner and I had was more about the, there are lots of children out there that have already been born and need homes.
Yeah.
And I think we both come from very stable family lives. Both of us have got our parents together, which is more unusual perhaps than it should be in this day and age. And we just thought if there were children from broken homes,
yes,
who didn't have a family environment, it may be better for us to try and give those children a home rather than trying to create another child. So we haven't gone down that route yet, but certainly, yeah. I mean, I think parenting, I've got children. It must be one of the, and Madeline, you'll know more than anyone else in this room, but, you know, one of the most rewarding, terrifying and enjoying things you could probably do as a human.
All of those. For me personally, it was lifesaver. It was just the best thing I could have possibly done. But it varies for everybody, of course. But yes, it is. All those things.
And I think just to add to the conversations we've had here today, there are quite a few organisations, particularly in Victoria, but I'm also sure around Australia, that if anyone wants to get any fertility advice or how to become a surrogate and support that process for rainbow families, do a quick Google search. There is plenty about.
And also just what you sort of kind of touched on there, fostering is such a fantastic thing to do. And for gay people, single partners, all this, there's a massive need there. And also you're not stuck with them forever. No, I don't mean that. But you know,
you're on form this morning. Yeah.
But they're there and you can save lives. I mean, fostering is a fantastic,
a great opportunity as well. And they're always after people to help that process.
Always.
And before we finish this segment, Mac, let's come back to you. Why in your aged years? And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean, you know, you are an older gentleman. Why didn't you have a family yourself? I think you'd make a great father.
Well, thank you. I've had three long-term partners. Current one is the longest. So you got the runs on the board, Jonathan. I never, at the time of my first one, when I was in my early 20s, wasn't an option. Then in my 40s, yes, it sort of was an option, but it wasn't something that we discussed. And no, Jonathan doesn't want children. And I think, yeah, I have a couple of views on this, which might perhaps disturb or shock some people. I think there's enough people in the world. And to bring another person into the world, I'm with you, Paul. If I wanted children, I would look to bring, you know, to adopt a child that's already here, and rather than create another one. I do have nieces and great nephews and great nieces. So I can, in a way, this might offend some people, I can satisfy that desire to, you know, be involved with siblings as such, or in a legal sense, issue. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why I haven't. I was always of the view that there were too many people in the world. And if you want another one, well, get one off someone else. There you go. Bit like that episode of AbFab. That episode of AbFab.
Yes, true. I would never compare you to AbFab, but I understand.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a laudable thing. I think, you know, giving any child a home is a good thing, whether it's biological or not.
Yeah. So coming up, we are going to speak with hopefully Gabrielle DeVicci.
We're still trying to get hold of Gabrielle at the moment. So Gabrielle, if you are listening to us, please can you hang up and
we want to talk to Gabrielle about the Greens' desire to expand our anti-vilification laws. Mm. Attorney General Jacqueline Symes spoke to us about that last week. Mm. It's on the agenda, right? She didn't give us a timeline, but I think 2023 might be where we're going to see some more movement there. They've got a renters forum coming up in Collingwood. And also the census, you know, how we can all get counted. And I think the important thing there is we really actually, you know, the Census Bureau, whatever they're called, Bureau of Statistics, they need to do more on this. The government, the federal government need to do more on this. I'm actually tired of, you know, some of the virtue signaling that goes on about our community by politicians. if you really want to know how many of us there are, then make the census accurately reflect that and encourage people to record their details and provide the right census questions that they do.
When's the next census due?
Oh, God. I don't think it's that far away, because it's obviously it's a topic for discussion. And, you know, if politicians out there think I'm being a bit unreasonable, well, 2026, you know, the end of the day, you always argue you want it, you know, you want evidence-based information to base policy and spending decisions on. Well, bloody well count us. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Madeline. Thank you for your messages. On air at joy.org.au, 0427 569 949. And I'm having a great time with Madeline. Hope you're enjoying. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.